Good morning. I want to start out by asking today, what is it that we do to remember things, in order to remember things? We all have different ways of remembering certain things, however important they are. A coworker of mine, he's here today, he and I have a whole stack of notepads that we keep notes on constantly, just pieces of paper, just in order to remember things, write things down. So we also have sticky notes, and we can thank God for whoever invented sticky notes. We have cell phones that give us a ding whenever we have a reminder in the cell phone. If you remember, some of you that from this generation, if you tied a string around your finger to remember something, all you got to do is watch It's a Wonderful Life, and you'll know about string on your finger. Notepads, how about your wedding ring? Oh yeah, yes, I remember now, I'm married. Some of you tell your spouse, I'll tell you and you be sure and remind me. So there's a lot of things that we do in order to remember. Repetition, there's repetition. The more we do things, I remember to do that again. So we also have calendars. We keep calendars. So you got a calendar, you got sticky notes, but seriously, I want to ask you, where is your calendar? In the kitchen, ours is on the refrigerator. Some of it has it in your purse, some of it has it on your phone. You got a calendar on your dresser. All right. Anybody else you remember?
Tell
somebody to remind me to do these things, because we got to remember these things. Okay, so some of these are external reminders. Some of you like internal. I do something internal to keep my mind thinking of that important thing. In this group, you know, I don't know if somebody still uses string on your finger, but you remember that was one way. I mean, just watch It's a Wonderful Life, and you understand that. So, got notepads. How about wedding rings? I mean, oh yeah, I remember, I'm married. Repetition. There's some things that you just do natural because, I've done it 12 times in a row every single month, and I just know that on the first of the month, I'm going to do this again. Repetition. So sometimes they are internal mind. Sometimes it's through repetition. We build it up. Sometimes we have pieces of paper. We've got calendars. We've got cell phones. We've got things to remind us to do this. And mostly all of these things are voluntary. I mean, I do that purposefully in order to remember. Do we have involuntary things that remind us to do something, to remember? Does anything involuntary happen to us that causes us to remember?
To wake up every morning.
That's right. Oh, I'm glad I remembered to get up today.
No, but it reminds you what you got.
That's right. It brings to mind, so it's an involuntary thing. What else? What?
Do
what?
The federal
government. Oh, it reminds you to send in your taxes. Yes, that's kind of involuntary. So, I always loved Steve Martin. He had a deal. He said, there's two simple words that would fix pretty much everything. Those two words are, I forgot. When the IRS calls and said, you haven't sent us your taxes, the answer is, I forgot. Or I didn't do my homework. Why didn't you do your homework? I forgot. It fixes everything. So what else is an involuntary reminder? Okay, so it's involuntary. I feel hungry, so I guess I better do something about it. I don't have that problem. I always remember to eat. But how about our senses? How many times have you been somewhere and you smell something or taste something that just sends you back? Oh, wow! Or brings up, it can be a bad reminder or a good reminder. I mean, some people, they hear something or taste something that brings back bad memories of growing up that you know, I never liked broccoli, but my parents forced it on me, so now anytime I taste broccoli, I remember the fights over the, you know, stuff like that. But there's things about our senses, our sight and sounds and smells and feel, you know, there's some days that, and I told somebody that just got back from Israel, you know, there's sometimes there'll be a day here that has just the right humidity and something about the air that reminds me of walking through the old city of Jerusalem. I don't know why, but boy, how it just brings back all these things. So there's voluntary and involuntary ways that we remember things. So now then, let's go back to Deuteronomy 6. So the fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Because God starts giving the Israelites commandments to remember, and then some ways to remember them by. And some of them are internal and some are external things to remember. So Deuteronomy 6, 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord God with all your heart." Now as I read this, pick up on ways to remember his commandments. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." All right, so what are ways that he tells them to remember his commands? What? Talk about them. What else?
Teach.
What? Teach. Impress them. What else? What?
Meditate.
Meditate. Yeah, think about these things. What else?
Tie them.
And what else?
Write.
So that's external. So you see these internal, these external things going on. You know, get them on your heart. That's internal. Impress them on your kids. Can be both. External, talk about them. Everywhere you are, write them, tie them. Okay? So there's all these things that he's telling them just in this one section. But he is intending that you think about these every waking moment, doing something to either think about them or remind you when you see them to think about the commandments. When you're sitting, when you're walking, when you're lying down, when you're getting up, tie them as symbols on your hands and on your forehead, write them on your door frames and gates. Every waking moment, keep them at the forefront of your thinking. So internal, external, both. So this passage that we're looking at is called the Shema, and the Jews refer to this as the Shema, which means to hear. Okay? So God is saying, hear what I'm telling you, because I want you to remember these things that I'm telling you in ways external and internal both, to keep them at the forefront of your thinking. But the word doesn't mean just to hear, it means to hear intelligently. So, do you have kids that hear sometimes intelligently and sometimes not? And I'm the same way. Sometimes I hear things, but I don't hear them intelligently. And what that means is that you hear it intelligently and you process it, you reason through it, and then you do something with it. I hear things all the time that I either, it just flies right through and I don't process, I don't listen to it, I don't, you know, I hear it, but I don't do anything with it. There are things that are important to me that I hear and I process and I do something with it. I either make a change or I at least think about it and logically reason through these things. We do this sometimes even unconsciously all the time. But God is saying, I want you to put these at the forefront of your thinking. I want these things to be in front of your face, visibly, external and internal both, at all times. So the Shema. Now then, It's opposed to, like I say, a kid that you say, I told you not to do that. Why did you do it? Didn't you hear me? We've been there, done that. Yes, I heard you. But it wasn't intelligently. I didn't process it. I didn't reason through it. I didn't apply it. And so the Shema is you process this intelligently. Now then, as opposed to, turn over to Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6, because Jesus uses these exact same words. He quotes Isaiah later. So Isaiah is 700 years before Christ, and then Christ picks up these words here. So Isaiah has just had an encounter with God himself, and it fell flat on his face, and God has picked him up and said, you know, told him that there's a purpose here. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here I am, send me. So God says, go and tell this people. So Isaiah, I'm sending you out to the Jewish people, the Israelites, and I've got a message for them. And it is, be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people callous, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. Well, now that sounds terrible, doesn't it? He's telling Isaiah to go out and tell them, don't hear, don't perceive, don't turn and be healed. Why would God tell? I thought the purpose of a prophet was to say, you need to believe in God, but he's saying something different. He's saying these people are going to hear, but they're not going to process it. They're not going to do anything with it. Why not? What? They don't understand, or because sometimes with a kid, you give them a direct order. Sometimes they don't understand, or the other thing is they don't want to do it. I think in this case is they are rebellious. They don't want to do it. And so God is convicting them. He's saying, Isaiah, you're going to go out and tell them my message. And they are already so hard-hearted. And I'm just going to drill them deeper and show how depraved they are and how rebellious they are, because they're going to hear, they're not going to understand, they're going to see, and they're not going to perceive. And so when it comes judgment time, they're not going to have anything that they can argue about. Not a single thing. So then you think, well, maybe they caught hold of this. Maybe they turned and did something with it. But then in Jesus' time in Matthew 13, he's turning right around. Matthew 13, 11, he replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. He's talking to the disciples and not to the leaders. Not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. So in parables, though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled. So in them, in these people, in the time of Christ, is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah when he said, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. So 700 years have passed, almost 800 years, and Jesus is saying, it's coming to fruition. What God told Isaiah is being played out right here in front of us, because the Messiah has come. He's standing there in front of them, showing them the fulfillment of everything in the Scriptures, and he says, they're hearing, but they're still not understanding. They're seeing, but they're still not perceiving. But he says to the disciples, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see but did not see it, and hear what you hear but did not hear it. So here's the difference right there. The disciples are hearing intelligently, Shema. They hear intelligently. They are seeing the Messiah. They are processing it. They are applying it. But he says, but all these others, they've been given a chance. Isaiah warned them. And for hundreds of years, now is being fulfilled, their calloused hearts and their hard hearts and their unhearing ears. They do not shema. They hear it, but they don't hear it intelligently. So that's the difference between these two. Now then, in order to try to remember these things, the Jews took some of God's commands and externalized them into something physical. Okay, and we know how that works. We do the same thing. They do the same things. So what they do is Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6, one of the things he says is tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. So how would you do that? And I've shown you this before. About a year ago, we did a lesson on do what they say, not what they do, where Jesus is telling the people, you listen to what your teachers say because they're teaching out of Scripture. You do what they say. Don't do what they do because they're hypocrites. They are leading people astray by what they do. They're not following their own teachings. So do what they say, not what they do. And so in those things, he tells them a couple of things. And one of the things that the Jews do, and even today, is they write the Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, the Shema, on a little piece of parchment. It's normally they're about 4 inches square, something like that. So here is what the Jews refer to as a cloth. So this piece of parchment with Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 on it is a cloth. So they'll take that little piece of parchment, roll it up, and put it into these boxes called phylacteries. And this is what Jesus got onto the leaders about. He said, this is in Matthew 23, he said, you know, they make their phylacteries large, they make a show out of what they're doing, but it's not making any difference in their lives. So they roll up that little piece of paper, put it in these boxes. One's on their forehead, one is on their arm next to their heart. And so tying them as symbols and keeping them on it's your mind and on your heart. That's what they say. That's how we externalize this. They turn it into something that they do regularly in order to remember God's commands. So they take the phylacteries, the straps that you see around the arm and the head, and the cloth, which is in the boxes, and it's all together called Teflon. So any observant Jew will have Teflon, and whenever he goes to pray, he wraps these things. There's a number of times that he wraps them around his arm, where the box is located. Everything about it is very strict and very, you know, all in there together to keep it just right. But this is an external way that they say, here's how I want to remember God's commands. So now then, there is also, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. There's another part. So what they do is they have what's called a mezuzah, and you can see that on just about any Jewish household door frame. It's a box that is rolled up. The kalaf is inside there, so the piece of parchment is rolled up inside this box, and it's attached to their door frame. Once again, it is an external attempt to remember God's commands by keeping these things physically, you know, on their foreheads, next to their heart, on their doors, on their gates. So here's something that they've taken to make physical reminders. And we do the same things in a lot of ways. So another place that God further instructs in great detail, and he tells them specifically how to do this, is in Numbers 15. So from Deuteronomy, back up a book to the fourth book, Numbers 15:37. And we talked a little bit about these tassels that God commanded them. The Lord said to Moses, this is Numbers 15:37. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, throughout the generations to come, you are to make tassels on the corners of your garments with a blue cord on each tassel. You will have these tassels to look at, and so you will remember all the commands of the Lord, that you may obey them and not prostitute yourselves by going after the lusts of your own hearts and eyes. Then you will remember to obey all my commands, and I will be consecrated to your God, and will be consecrated to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. So he specifically says, make these tassels on the corner of your garments, and when you look at these tassels, you remember my commands. So acting that out is all the prayer shawls, and I brought one last year, all the prayer shawls, the tallit that you see here, the shawls have these tassels down here at the bottom on the corners of the garment or the hem. And these tassels are called tzitzit. Tzitzit. That's the Hebrew word for it. So all of these prayer shawls have tassels just like God said. And even to the point that all of these tassels, there's a certain number of tassels, and each tassel is tied in a certain number of knots. And all the tassels and all the knots added together come up to 613. Why? Because that's the number of laws or mitzvot that Jews are required to follow. 613. Mitzvot. So now you know where bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah, son of the law or daughter of the law, come from. Whenever a child reaches an age, a certain age, they have a bar mitzvah and you have become a son of the law. And here's where it all points to. And God is saying, when you wear your garments, when you pray, you'll have these tassels to remind you of all of these laws. Okay? So some places God says, internalize this, put it on your heart, remind, you know, impress upon your children, talk about it. Other times he says specifically, here's what I want you to do to remember. So internal and external, both. Now then, the whole intent, again, is to keep a constant reminder everywhere you go, anything that you're doing, to remember the commandments that God has given. All right? So this is in completely direct opposition. This is something that we've talked about before too. The teachings of Islam, Allah says in the Quran, if we abrogate a verse or cause it to be forgotten, we will replace it by a better one or a similar one. So there's a whole study in Islam called the law of abrogation. And what verses in the Quran have been abrogated and what have not been abrogated? So the first question that should come up in your mind is, number one, is this the same God? The God of the Bible does everything to remember, to tell people to remember. God has given commands. He's given words. Remember it. Do everything that you can to remember it. Allah says, okay, every once in a while I'm going to cause you to forget a verse, but I'll give you a better one. Again, you have to ask the question, does God give good, better, best? Does God come back later and say, you know what, that first one wasn't all that great, let me give you something different? So everything in the scripture points to God saying, you need to remember. You need to do everything you can to keep to the forefront everything that I've taught you. He doesn't back off and say, you know what, we'll do something different here. God has given a perfect word, and he is saying, remember it. Put it on your heart. Carry it with you every single day. Do whatever you can to remember the commands that I've given you. All right, so we're going to stop there, but now I want you to start to think for next week. Is there something in the New Testament that Jesus says to remember? What does he give us? Does he give us something to remember? So that's for next week. Anything? Questions? Comments? Remember to show up next week, okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your word and what it means to us every single day. We thank you that you have given us your commands. Dear Lord, help us to remember. Help us to keep it at the forefront of our lives. every single thing that we do and say, we want you at the forefront in all the words that you have given us. We thank you for Eric and Kimberly and the work that you're doing through them in Uganda. We know that you're there, God. It's obvious. It's evident that you're working, and you're working mightily through these people. So we ask you to protect them and to keep them healthy and strong to carry out your will. In your son's name, amen. Thank you so much for being here.